strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
time.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And, you know, in all the years we've been doing the show, there's a couple of recurring nightmares of my Richmond fan experience. And one of those most acutely is where we lose games that we deserve to win. How that nightmare manifests itself, it's either, you know, it's the 2013 final where we lose a player in the first quarter, so we run out of legs, or it's the Port Adelaide final where they kick every shot at goal sails straight through the middle, and we just can't keep up. It was mildly cathartic that both of those things happened on Friday night, and we still won easily.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure we deserve to win either of those two examples that you cited, but I definitely agree that they did. They kicked very well for goal, and the sort of the injury thing. Firstly, it was a fantastic game. It was especially in the first half. I really enjoyed watching it when it was hot and it was contested. Mm. Conker went down with 10 minutes to play, with 10 minutes gone in the first. And I thought he's a mid. It wasn't the end of the world because, I mean, he's a high running mid, outside mid, but in the era of cap rotations, it's a mild disadvantage. When Cochin was off for 6 minutes, I thought he was gone. Jack Graham was on the sideline with the bad elbow, and Caddy got fallen on by Nank crushing one of the Swans. That's when I thought we were in trouble. At the time, I didn't realise that Heaney had been concussed, or he got concussed early in the second quarter. So that, in the end, that might have injured the evened up the injury stakes slightly, but it certainly at the time I felt, well, it was a magnificent Braveheart performance.
Well, and yeah, because it wasn't as bad as when we lost Hooley and Jack in the first quarter, and sort of pretty much the whole team hardly got a break. I think it was noticeable that the Swans kicked quite a few late goals in the second or third quarter, and that's always a sign of relative fatigue, I think. Of course, our world-destroying fourth quarters continued their usual streak.
Yeah, again, the evidence is not overwhelming, but yeah, I thought we were actually running out the third quarter pretty well, and I thought we were unlucky. You know, basically the Swans got one goal and then that incredibly lucky, an undeserved buddy free kick in 50. I was actually never that worried in the last quarter because I always thought we had the game. Yeah, I thought, watching it, I thought we were playing really well. And, you know, as you say, you haven't mentioned the inside 50, but we're plus 20. We did the usual thing is we're not actually dominant in any statistical measure other than pressure and time and forward half.
And intercepts.
Yes, that's true. And turnovers, that's what we win in, but we don't sort of win in any of the conventional metrics that lit on the process to victory, but, you know, we absolutely, in the end, dominated the game. The expected shots, if teams had kicked to their average, would have won by about 40 points, despite playing a step behind the eight ball. And Dusty played his worst game I can ever remember him having on the AFL rankings. He has had games of this equivalent output previously, but it was certainly, I checked, but on the AFL rankings he was...
Yeah, that was driven by quite a few turnovers. 10, I thought he was a bit unlucky in that regard. I think he's trying a little bit on defense more so than he was.
He had a few pressure acts, and the Swans have a good matchup for him. But my point was not that Dusty's not. I wasn't talking about Dusty specifically, but we were dominant. We were playing the second best team in the AFL. We took care of them easily. We didn't get injury luck, and nor did we get a dominant performance from our best player. In fact,
No, we did get a dominant performance from Jack Riewoldt, though.
Incredible. It's hyperbolic, but you know, it's his best ever performance, and I loved his response in an interview where he pointed out that he kicked, well, I did actually kick 11 goals once. That was a pretty good day. But
his opponents weren't jokes that day either.
No, but you know, he did set career highs in contested marks and marks. Like, that's there is a plausible case that was his best ever game.
I know, and big occasion. There is something about Etihad and key forwards. It does seem to suit it.
Yeah, it does strain it up. But yeah, Jack was just superb, and you can't blame the ground for some of the contested marks he was taking there.
No.
And a couple of his, you know, goal kicking was really on song as well. It was just a fantastic virtuoso performance and clear best on ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're going to talk about best players, I think Kane Lambert. I've speculated before that he's someone that the MCG really suits, and maybe that's the case, but he was still fantastic on Thursday night.
Oh, it was amazing, and every clearance, everything he did, and three goals. And if you've forgotten, the Swans spent an awful lot of the last quarter within a goal, because they kicked the first goal of the last. It was Buddy's best genuine non-umpire assisted goal of the game, and then there was
from
a long
short list.
Yeah, then was a long stalemate. And then Lambert kicked this amazing bouncing goal where Dusty, even in even a bit out of form, had the wherewithal to not stick his hands up and let the ball bounce over his head, which I'm not sure how many players would have been that self-aware in the AFL. So Lambert was great. But Nick, I'll give you another contributing factor for Lambert's game. So, Dion Prestia.
Yes, meatball.
Perfectly respectable game. 24 touches, 8 contested. Plenty of pressure acts.
Worked hard both ways. I reckon.
Yeah,
pretty big GPS numbers.
As he regularly does. So it was probably, I think, a median Dion Prestia game. But let me tell you something about Lambert. Lambert's played 15 games this year, and five of them with Prestia. So he's only played a third of the games this year, because Prestia's only played a third of the games this year. In that stint, of the 14 goals Lambert's kicked all year, 12 of them have been when Prestia's playing. And in every game Prestia's played with Lambert, Lambert's had 24-plus touches, and in the other 10 games that Lambert's played, he's only reached 24 touches twice. So, I mean, correlation may be not be causation, but right now Dion Prestia is the Midas touch for Kane Lambert. And there's a plausible explanation that when Dion Prestia's there doing all that defensive running, that it frees up Kane to play a more attacking gameplay.
Yeah, and I reckon he's talk about defensive running, he's the one going back into defensive 50 to win the ball. Freeing the others up. I think Dusty spent more time forward this week. The whole team just looks better.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they all rotate back to the defensive 50, but it allows some of them to ball hunt more when Prestia is doing the defensive positioning. And I think that's particularly the case with Lambert. But whatever, it's working well. So, Glossy, another brilliant game, took the specky on Buddy's back. 10 contested,
deeply enjoyable.
10 contested position, and kicked a beautiful, another beautiful goal.
I know, 55 metres.
Yep, and he's 4-1 for the season. So I know it's not a lot of shots at goal, but still, 4-1 is something to make your heart, because grow fonder, because I'm sure most of those shots have been from 40 metres or out. He's career best in every meaningful stat that you can think of. I mean, he's not a world. He's sort of up to 18 possessions per game, up from 15. But, you know, in everything, contested possession, tackles, everything, his game is up. So there's been no sacrifice as far as I can find. And he's ninth in the AFL in intercepts per game, which doesn't sound that impressive. Like, ninth in the AFL. Okay, that's all right. But the thing is, Richmond has... It's not bad. Richmond has by far the biggest... there's number one in the AFL by far is Alex Rance for intercepts per game. And then there's a whole bunch of daylight, and then there's the second best player. So in any statistical category, if you in most professional sports, if you've got one guy sort of sucking up all the defensive rebounds, it's hard for anyone else to dominate the stat. And, you know, credit to Vossi, that Vossi and Rance together, that they can generate so many intercepts. Anyway.
Well, we'll return to this topic when we talk about Adelaide.
Yeah, cool.
I thought Caddy, whilst not at sort of peak earlier in the season form, he still had a good game of football.
Yeah, what do you think? Dimmer referred to him as being patched up after he got the nick. He went down to the rooms after he went off, and he was clearly clutching at his chest. What do you think patched up means? My guess is shot up with painkillers so he didn't feel his cracked or strained ribs. Would that be your guess?
Yeah, because there's having spoken to various physiotherapists about rib injuries, there's literally nothing you can do except not get hit in the same spot again. I reckon just quick jab to take the edge off, and he was back out there.
Yeah, and, you know, he was fine, and he ran out of the game, which he absolutely had to do when we were playing a person down.
So, but you know that the ruck and ruckman are a favourite topic of ours, but a topic we don't sadly get to talk about very often is Nank's opponent having a bad game. And Nank playing well is no surprise. Nank comprehensively having more disposals and influential possessions than his opponent. Doesn't happen as much.
Sinclair was the fourth best rated Swan.
Yeah, but he's almost a goal a game. His 16 disposals a game, and he was well down. He didn't kick a goal, and his possessions were well down, and he just wasn't nearly as providing as much tackle pressure. I thought it was a clear win.
Well, the ratings did. I would have described it as a points victory to Nankervis, because I looked at the same number as well. And looking independently, I was impressed about how well Nank rucked against him, and he lost.
Well, we won the headouts.
We did, but we lost the headouts to advantage. But it was close, which it normally is not.
Well, when you consider what happens when he's off the ground.
Yes, well, it is true that that Sean Grigg is not a great ruckman. But the Nank's, to me, the big story of Nank's game was the incredible 10 tackles and 64 pressure points, which, you know, to me, it was just a very workmanlike game that Nank just busted his gut. And, you know, there was a few times when I thought, I don't know, like maybe it was just in my head because you notice it more, because you expect him to be motivated, but I thought he was cracking in extra hard. I'm not sure you can actually dial. It's like the Nank going, is like the Spinal Tap going, he's installed 11 on the amp. I thought it was a points victory, but what really stood out to me was just what a physical presence he is. The man is, the man's just like sort of, Nank is like a bouncer in a really tough pub. Like he's throwing someone out the door every 15 minutes, but you know, the pub can't function without him.
If they wanna do another remake of Roadhouse, he could be there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lovable player.
Mm. Well, there were he had a lot of friends. Speaking of defensive pressure and weird stats, Dylan Grimes, a career high in tackles.
Yeah, must be. I can't explain it. But another great game and continues his superb form.
Hmm. Yeah, that look the whole. As we say often, the defence in great form. I thought, you know, Jaden Short did all his usual things with even more goals.
Yeah, and absolutely, and it was actually beautiful the one he kicked off Jack because he was standing there flat footed, like he was foxing a bit, but it was not an easy shot, and he slotted it beautifully. This is the first quarter goal. He continues to be one of our best. Sooner we sign him, the better. While we're sort of going around the newbies, Jack Graham led the team. You know, stop me if you've heard this. Led the team in pressure acts. But he was the best on our team and on the ground, and yet it wasn't even an above average game for him anymore. He just does it every single week.
I know. It was. Oh. He was playing that half forward role a bit, and yeah, some of his forward entry, inside 50 entries, were a bit shaky. Otherwise, it was a fine game.
Yeah, though. One or two he deliberately kicked high because he had no one to kick to and he was trying to create a contest. But there was one moment where he had Cochin by himself. He had a 2-on-1 and he kicked to the one. Admittedly, Hannelbury did the same thing on the reverse. But it was pretty awful. Speaking of Hannelbury, actually, who admittedly is in awful form, but Cochin, he has badly beaten Cochin a few times earlier in his career, but
not I think anymore.
Cochin had the day today, 27, and it was a beautiful hit he put on him. Actually, it might have been the moment he got injured, but he absolutely hammered him a tackle, and it was sort of one of the things that, as was in the case in our final series, that Cochin was setting the physical pressure.
Yeah, it was great. Look, the. We fretted a little bit earlier in the season about Sean Griggs' form. Yeah, no, he's back to his usual self. That makes me happy. But that's the oldest player on the team. The youngest player on the team, Jack Higgins. Very workmanlike game on the wing, and I really like how he's a fourth quarter man.
Yeah, he gets a lot. Career high possessions, I believe. Plenty of contested possession. I don't quite get why he can't get clearances. Because, like, you look at his size and his sort of background, you think he'd actually be a natural clearance player, but he just hasn't managed to get them yet. But his 8 contested possessions is an indication that something's coming along there. And there's no way he's getting dropped, by the way.
No.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yep, he's working hard. Yeah. Look, the small forwards between them didn't win a ton of football, but there were some very nice goals there. And yeah, Daniel Rioli, what can you say?
Oh, his goal was incredible. It's funny, is the three of them together often last year none of them would be statistically brilliant, but it just worked the threesome together, and you know we they couldn't get the ball out. So our pressure and our inside 50s were wonderful. And Jack played a great game. So, you know, it worked, the forward line. But Rioli's goal was just incredible. I can't remember. I think that's the goal of the year by a Richmond player this year, wouldn't you say?
That I can think of now. Probably the one that I enjoyed the most was Nank's full pirouette and snap.
Yeah, But
unlikeliness.
Both those goals were crucial in the game, actually.
Mm. But no, for the aesthetics, I don't think we've seen a better one this year.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have played on, actually, but, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah, anyway, it worked.
Mm. That was all I had from the game.
Just on the small forwards that Castagna has had two not very good games in a row. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But it's one of those things that could change for week by week. Now we need to address Conker.
Yes.
So that was really sad. And
It's not often a player's screams come through on the TV audio.
That was horrible. And obviously the commentators weren't patched in because it was so... If you're at home watching live, you could hear it so clearly and you just knew, when someone makes that noise.
It's not good.
It's not good. Like, people don't do that when they've rolled their ankle and they're going to come back in the next quarter with a restrapping. So it was trapped. But it was really nice, the sort of the thumbs up to the crowd. A bit NFL style, and it was great the way the boys went over him to him. But, you know, Reece Conker, of all people, with his such a checkered, difficult history, and he finally got fit.
The ballad of Reece Conker.
Yeah, and, you know, for his limitations as a footballer, you know, the kid finally had a chance to play what he was born to do. And, you know, clearly he's a very gifted young man. He was finally getting a shot at giving his best shot, and he was a free agent, so he was going to get a payday, hopefully. And this happens. It's just the pathos of it was pretty strong, and I can see why the players played really well. Actually, we pretty much dominated the game from the moment after it happened. But so it just got me thinking, Nick, sort of moments like tragic Richmond injuries, and. It wasn't at this level, but it had a bit of the feeling of the tragedy for me of Richo's last game against the Swans, where Terry Wallace sent a clearly hobbling Richo back onto the ground. And I was actually screaming at the TV, don't do it, don't do it. And Richo tore his hamstring from his bone and ended his career, such a glorious, magnificent career. So that's an injury that will always stick with me, but I'm sure you've got a few as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few obvious ones. The Nathan Brown leg injury. I mean, you hear Richo talk about it all the time. And it just what good form the team was in. He himself was playing fantastically well, and it didn't technically end his career, but it. Sort of, it may as well have.
Yeah, well, it turned him into a mediocre plotter.
Yeah, but yeah, I had, I was thinking about this, and there's the ones that ruin a season, but I think it's the career ones, and injuries are a fact of life, but there were a couple that really stuck with me, and then. I was then sort of looking through lists of Richmond players, as you do, but it doesn't seem fair, as much as we like and respect Brandon Ellis, that he's now played clearly more games than Tony Free did.
Wow, yeah. That is...
You know, club captain, hard as nails. Yeah, just cut cruelly short.
And I guess there's also the other one, and then this is a very Richo-centric list, but, you know, we were top of the ladder, beating the Swans in 95 and flying, and look like we might really do something. And Richo does his knee on a silly, this young, beautiful athlete who looked like he could be anything, does his knee on that stupid, SCG fence. And you know, could we have beaten... Was Richard worth 80 points, whatever it was, we got beaten by Carlton? I don't know, but maybe we would have...
Yeah.
Maybe we could have won a few more games and been on the other side of the draw and, you know, maybe... well, we've had to beat Geelong and Carlton, so maybe it's a bit of a long shot, but who knows?
He was in pretty great form when he got injured, too.
Yeah, we might. You never know. We might have been able to sneak into that grand final. I don't think that was a winnable grand final year, but it did. It did have a big impact on history.
One that everybody and actually know quite a few people who know him personally, but Mark Dragosevich is one who you know, just, you know, again, serious knee injury, wasn't the player he was when he came back. You know, maybe he always had marginal speed, but yeah, that's another sad one.
Mark Coughlin, us putting the, all our hopes and dreams into, and then his osteo pubis and the knee.
Club captain at 21, 22.
Yep, in an era where we didn't have many good young players outside Otto. And, that was pretty tragic.
Probably a last sort of...
Yeah, we've really got to wrap this up. It's a pretty depressing list.
I know. Well, another one that... probably, I don't know how much we've ever talked about him before. Michael Pickering's was finished as a good AFL player, and he was a very good AFL player for about 5 years. He was finished as a regular senior footballer at age 25. Career over by 27. That's one that got away.
Anyway, let's all the best to Conker. He actually is, if the as it's a clean dislocation, he's a chance to come back and play in the VFL finals and be an AFL reserve. So, that would be...
Yeah, it's really hard to see him getting enough. Like, they've clearly done a great job, you know, holding Prestier out so that he comes back and at full fitness rather than having work his way back. But
yeah,
I think if you apply that same, you know, he's had a good body of work to get up to that. I just can't see how Conker's going to have that same amount of time to come back.
Yeah, interestingly, just to transition slightly, but, you know, good luck to him, they're talking about bringing Hooley straight back into the ones for the GWS game. And I thought that's interesting that clearly with some of these sort of, I don't think Conker's obviously not in this category, but with some of the older blokes were training them up. We just expect them to be, we expect someone like Hooley to have match fitness, have match touch, but they can train up and put it in his legs without playing VFL.
And look, well, loath to talk about Tom Lynch too much, but when there was that, I think it was Fox Footy article saying that, you know, perhaps Hawthorn's secret edge is the quality of their medical staff. I raised an eyebrow at that one.
Yeah, no evidence behind that at all. We're having a great run of injuries. But, you know, it's maybe it just so happens that some of our senior regulars are very robust guys. Who knows? Like, you can't, it's too small a sample to make definitive. I mean,
There's good luck and good management, but.
Yeah,
we're clearly not doing too badly.
Yeah, we're not. We're certainly, we're doing very well. Like anyone, the idea that someone would choose a team based, like there are some statistical things, like going west does appear to shorten your career for whatever reason. I find it ridiculous to think that the incredible job Halton have done with managing Jago Mira's injury is enough to bring Tom Lynch over. VFL.
So, another good win. Clearly top of the table. Flag favourites. And despite Anthony Miles getting knocked out. Pretty good day.
Yeah, it destroys the myth that no Miles, no Richmond VFL. But, very effective. Should I bolt? Sorry, go.
Oh, I was just going to ask. What caught your eye?
Well... You can't go past the Shai Bolton 6 tackles, 22 touches like that.
No, and in the best players.
Yeah, that actually seems indicative. Like, you don't know what the defensive running was, but I bet the coaches do. But that seems indicative of a reasonably high work rate. And it could work. With Higgins playing further up the ground, you could potentially bring Shai Bolton into the team.
And if he's doing more than doing a couple of roles. I think Dan Butler, God bless his soul, isn't playing much except in the forward line, ditto for Castagna and Rioli, but Higgins has shown himself capable of a couple of roles, and Shai as well, which I like. I really like Patrick Naish, the graph slowly but steadily pointed up, which I'm enjoying. And the fact that there's absolutely no pressure on him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a slow progression, but yeah, absolutely. Mm. Step by step. Not in the best yet, but...
Not in the best, but 18 disposals, 2 goals. I like to see. Corey Ellis, listed it as our best player again. Would it be a like-for-like replacement for another disappointing first-round draft pick in Conker?
Well, as you know, not really, because you know Conker's a sort of hard-running sort of defensive outside player who you know gets plenty of tackles and pressure acts, whereas Corey Ellis is a beautiful kick whose work rate is questionable.
His work rate's got better in the VFL. We've sadly yet to see that translate at AFL.
Yeah, I don't know. You get 26 touches. How many times do you think... I mean, Corey's probably the best player on our team, best kick on our team. He's going to get 10 touches just by these teammates hand-passing to him. I'm sorry, it's my Anthony Miles double standard thing that I can't get excited about 26 when... touches from Corey Ellis, because I'm such an Anthony Miles fanboy, because, you know, he's getting 35.
I think it's affecting your judgment.
I still can't get excited. I just fundamentally can't get excited by mid-20s possession games from AFL-listed midfielders playing in the midfield. It was promising.
I think that his quality of disposal is that he's winning games with that amount of ball if he's getting it clean and using it well.
Yeah, but look, it is a good game, absolutely. But the question is he going to come into the seniors and get 12 to 14 touches again and look slightly lost like he has for most of his career? We'll see. But he's probably earned his shot again.
Yeah, and he's been in the squad, so you'd think he's probably closest. William Baker, listed as being a pretty good player.
Yeah, obvious why in his basic stat line, but obviously did a lot of hard work, and you know I'm a Liam Baker fanboy. Mm. Let's be great to see him before the end of the year.
Garthwaite, potential replacement for Vlossy, you think?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it works.
They're pretty big.
Yeah, that is the point though, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. So it's the matchup question, but yeah, I mean, Vlossy's such a dumb act because he's in such good form. He's become so important to the team.
Yeah, he's in fantastic form. Yeah, and he's matching up more on smaller players. I mean, you know, Nathan Broad clearly didn't have a trouble with the Tom Lynch matchup. He may well be back this week, but yeah, it's a tough one. You want a ball winner, and sadly, Garthwaite sort of duplicates Broad and Grimes in not winning a ton of football.
Yeah, exactly. And for that reason, Vlossy's a bit the straw that stirs the drink, particularly when Hooley's out, because you know he does 2018. Vlossy does give you a reasonable amount of drive. So yeah. It's actually a really hard one to sort of Vlossy and Hooley out at the same time sort of two of our primary ball winners. Do you go left field with something like a Menadue or no, that doesn't work out. Camden McIntosh, perhaps. Yeah. I think maybe Camden actually.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a decent game, not without seemingly hitting any great heights. Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly, he got a lot more touches than the sort of 10 he's been getting in the AFL. So, yeah, so 23, you know, that's not bad.
Both Noah Bolter and Callum Moore, pretty good games.
Yeah, Callum Bolter took a couple of contested marks, and you always know when he's played well because his thread starts trending again on the forums.
He's an eye-catching guy.
he, in more than one way. So hope springs, but a couple of those together, and we might see him.
Mm. So, speaking of selection, how are you feeling nervous about Adelaide?
Not at all, actually.
Yeah, I know.
It could end badly. I mean, they've just had a really good win.
I have, and they still have a lot of good players. And then a lot of the same guys who gave us trouble over in Adelaide. But yeah, I don't know what it is, the magic aura of the MCG. But yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident.
Yeah, I mean the magic aura of the MCG. Also, the fact that before their good win last week, they lost by 50 points to the Hawks. They lost to the Dockers. They lost to the Giants. They lost by almost 100 points to the Demons. Your confidence is fairly well founded.
Yeah, we're 30-point favourites, which is always it's hard to get too stressed in those circumstances. I mentioned about turnovers before. Adelaide are second in the AFL in turnovers this year, as in have had the second most turnovers against the team that creates the most turnovers. So you'd think that should play well.
Yeah, I mean, we have just lost one of the key people who creates those turnovers, or at least collects...
Part of the coalition of the willing, yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Vossi, in some ways, is the debt collector for the hard work of what the guys up the field do. But that's a skill in itself, and he's a beautiful red in the ball. But it's a big game, Nick, because we've actually got, before our schedule turns soft again, we're in a run of difficult games, because we've got the Giants after that.
We do. Giants up in Sydney.
Yeah, and the Saints at Etihad are no joke, I would say. They're sort of semi-humorous, but no joke. Well,
that certainly gave Melbourne a surprise on the weekend.
And then we'll play what will probably be a huge game is the Magpies and the MCG. Also, the Magpies have stacked their schedule with cream puffs. They've stacked their win.
Yeah, it'll be
a
big game, though. I could well be second by then. I'd really prefer if we didn't Tom Doody, a bit of a funny name, but we kicked the ball down his throat a lot last time.
Yeah, it was funny. Dimmer in the press conference described the last Adelaide game as embarrassing. The Crows are obviously going to want to get some revenge on the MCG, because that's now become such a big thing. But yeah, I think we're going to be pretty motivated too. Not that I think, we lack for motivation in general, but I think this is actually going to be pretty hot and pretty hard. Much like last week was, the Swans game was a good quality hard football game, and I think this will be too.
I know, Friday night football, it's all there.
I can't believe, what's Carlton doing this weekend? Clearly not.
I think our key defenders will be pretty motivated. They've got a lot of pride, and they did not play well last time.
No, that's true. That is true. Anyway, I'm excited.
I'll be nervous by game time, but yeah, right now I'm confident. Just part of how insufferably smug Richmond supporters are at the moment.
Couldn't agree more. Long may it last, and let's enjoy it while it does.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years, this one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers, 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never weaken till our most fight. The Tigers are like the Tiger of old. The storm and the bold for the Tiger. Yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
It's just a celebration of all good things. rants.
Never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Compton. Left foot snap. The goal of game.
Trent Dimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all the credit. They've built something fantastic and we're just going to keep riding away.
Martin, three votes.